Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
Doing pretty good, watching some terrible Thursday night football.
Yeah, Thursday night football is bad anyway, but then when you get the Jets and the Browns, it's just not...
Yeah, it doesn't get much worse.
Not a recipe for success. But anyway, all right, so tonight we're going to talk about just give kind of an injury update, real quick rundown from what happened in practice today on Thursday. And then we're just going to kind of look at the Titans offense versus the Jaguars defense and the Titans defense versus the Jaguars offense. Before we get into that, remind you we write for MusicMiracles.com where we cover the Titans for SB Nation. So you can check us out there. A ton of good stuff going up there every day. So everything you'll need to know heading into this game on Sunday you can find there. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. And you can follow the podcast account at Locked On Titans. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your shows. Just search out Locked On Titans and you'll find us there. All right, so the injury news I think was goodish today. It sounds like Marcus Mariota was able to do more. Now, I don't think he is by any means cleared. I don't think the nerve has completely calmed down or any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, everybody when the media, they could see the open portion of practice, said he was throwing the ball further today than he had been before. Vrabel said afterwards that he took close to the majority of the reps or more than half of the reps. So, you know, it sounds like they're at least maybe trending in the direction of him being able to play, or if nothing else, they haven't ruled him out yet at this point for Sunday. So, again, I don't know that we're going to have a definitive answer on this before, you know, we see who takes the field with the first team offense on Sunday. But what they said today seemed a little bit more positive than what they said yesterday.
Yeah, it went from kind of like a 10% chance to maybe a 50-50 chance or even better than that, it seems. So we said it was just going to kind of click for him one day. It seems like he made a lot of progress from Wednesday to Thursday, and that's obviously a big deal. And you know, everyone wants to make judgments about this offense and what it is. Well, we haven't seen it yet, you know. So if Marcus plays on Sunday, that would finally give us a chance to kind of see it again. We got a quarter in Miami to really evaluate it. Now Marcus will come back down Delanie Walker. So I hope that's something we get to see. They're going to need it because that Jacksonville defense is really nasty.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we just haven't gotten to see it yet. But they need to be as close to full strength as possible going up against the Jacksonville team on Sunday. All right, good news that we're pretty sure is good news at this point. Taylor Lewan was able to participate in practice today. He was labeled as a full participant. They said after practice that he was going to see the independent doctor this afternoon, and that was the last step in him being out of the concussion protocol. So sounds like everything's good with him. We'll know tomorrow if he's out there and practicing that he'll be good to go. Jack Conklin still limited. Sounds like he's doing a little bit more, but it still sounds to me like he's at least, you know, another week away from being able to play. I could be completely wrong here. This is just speculation on my part, but I feel like he's going to need to be a full participant in practice for a week before he's able to go back out there. We've seen him do a little bit limited. They've kind of, it seems like, ramped him up a little bit more each week, but I just find it hard to see them rolling him out there without having, you know, a couple full practices under his belt. Dennis Kelly was the other guy, you know, that missed on this past Sunday against the Texans. Still was not with the team today after being sick and in the hospital over the weekend. Vrabel said they hope to have him back at the facility tomorrow. I would find it a long shot that he's going to be able to play after, you know, whatever he had that had him down that much. So I really think that on Sunday you're going to see Taylor Lewan at left tackle, Kevin Pamphile at right tackle, which is better than what they had last week, but still not necessarily ideal when going up against the Jaguars defense.
Yeah, and on Jack Conklin, Vrabel had an interesting comment. He said, we'd love to have him be able to help us in some capacity in the Jacksonville game. So I don't know if that means maybe they're hoping he can be active and just kind of provide depth. Maybe they feel good enough to do that. But it sounds like he's getting close. And, you know, I think it's realistic to expect him back in week four of course, barring no setbacks, and we don't know, we're not getting much information, but just using the signs that we've got, I'd say he's going to be back pretty soon.
Yeah, and so again, that's obviously really good news, and we know how good those two tackles are when they're both on the field, and so hopefully they will both be on the field together sooner rather than later. But I don't think it's going to be this week. And then just kind of round things out here, if you're looking at the rest of the guys on the injury list, David Fullerton did not practice again. Talked about Daylon Dawkins being called up from practice squad, all that kind of stuff. So don't expect him to play. Derrick Henry was still listed as a limited participant with his back injury, but there wasn't much said about that, so I doubt that he's going to miss. And then Kamalay Correa was added to the injury report with a back injury, did not practice today, so that's going to be something to keep an eye on, because again, he's only playing a limited number of snaps, but part of that rotation, and a guy that has been a playmaker when he's been on the field, and they're going to need everybody, all hands on deck, get pressure on Bortles and all that stuff this weekend, so hopefully he'll be able to go. But just stay tuned tomorrow. Look at MuseumMiracles.com. We'll have kind of the final update. And again, I don't think we'll have an answer on Marcus Mariota tomorrow. I mean, it'd be awesome if they, came out that he's a full participant, he's ready to go. But I have a feeling that we're going to be wondering about this leading up to kickoff, just like last week. So, all right, so that'll do it for the injury report portion here. We're going to talk about Titans offense against the Georgia defense coming up in just a sec. Before we do that, we're going to tell you about Vivid Seats. VividSeats.com is sponsoring the podcast. We're really glad to have them on board. It's a great website, not only for sporting events, but also for concerts, any of that stuff. Anything that you're looking for tickets to, Vivid Seats has it. Cool venues, artists, sporting events, all that stuff. So anything that you want to go to, that you want to see, you can get on Vivid Seats. If you use the promo code Locked On, you get $20 off of orders of $200 or more. And you can also go to the App Store, whether you use Apple, Google, whatever it is, download the Vivid Seats app. When you enter the promo code Locked On, you'll get $20 off of $200 or more purchase, and it'll be locked in. So the first time you make a purchase of that, it'll automatically come off your bill. So good deal there. Again, that's the promo code Locked On. So all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are back, but 100% guarantees. You don't have to worry about not getting your tickets after you pay. So it's a cool deal. Again, go to www.vividseats.com/app, enter the promo code Locked On, and you can get the tickets to whatever event it is that you're looking for. All right, so all the talk obviously this week is about this Jaguars defense. And look, they're as good as Bill. Look, the Jaguars fans, I think we talked about them a little bit last night, but they're the worst. But they are very confident in their team in general, but the confidence that they have in their defense is well warranted. The defense is very, very good. I did five question things with Big Cat Country, which is the SB Nation Jaguar site, and one of the things he asked me was, rivalry aside, do you think the Jaguars are a legitimate Super Bowl contender? And I said, yes, absolutely do. Because of that defense. I mean, their defense is that good. So, I think that even with all the other things, with the Blake Bortles and all that stuff, which we'll get into in a little bit, their defense is legitimately like, Super Bowl win. They should have gone to Super Bowl last year. Against the second half against the Patriots, they would have made it last year. So it's a tall order for the Titans, again, especially if they're going to be a backup quarterback, third, fourth tackle, whatever it may be. It creates all kinds of problems. But the Titans showed last year that there is a formula to having success against the Jaguars defense. And it's basically, lining up with two tight ends and, basically running at them, and running enough that you – not necessarily – all the runs are not going to be successful. I mean, this was the perfect, Mike Mularkey, Terry Rubisky thing, right? Because you just kind of run into the wall, keep it close, win the game in the fourth quarter. That's what they wanted to do every week. But it did seem like that was the most effective game plan against the Jaguars, because the Titans were the only team to beat them twice last year and had more success against this defense than pretty much anybody else.
Yeah, and what makes their defense great are those two corners they've got, you know, Bouye and Jalen Ramsey on the outside. That's tough. It's tough to get any separation. They can just sit on the line of scrimmage, press, disrupt timing. So you've got two corners that you can really trust to erase receivers off of the field. So and then you look inside, and you know, they just keep getting better. You know, they added Marcell Dareus last year with a trade. Malik Jackson, Yannick Ngakoue, and Calais Campbell. That's a really good front. Then Miles Jack behind all that. So it's a really good front seven with two really good corners. And, you know, like you said, the way to beat them is to just run right at them. Because, I mean, let's be honest, Titans probably aren't going to get much done through the air on Sunday. There's no reason to believe that that will go any differently. Maybe they can hit some things in the screen game and the short game at the line of scrimmage. But I don't think it's realistic to expect Corey Davis to go out and beat Jalen Ramsey. And that's not a knock on Corey Davis at all. These guys are just really, really good. So I think you're right on when you say Derrick Henry has to get going. This offensive line has to really roll from the get-go. Deion Lewis, utilize him in space. You know, maybe get out of the thick of the line of scrimmage, you know, get him matched up on a linebacker, on a safety, something like that. So we saw it last week. It was a brilliant game plan to kind of hide Blaine Gabbert and take some pressure off of him and get the ball out quick. I think you'll see a similar game plan this time around, regardless of who plays quarterback, because they can get pressure and they can cover. So I think you're going to want to get the ball out of Marcus Mariota's hands, especially considering the injury.
Yeah, and you know, last year early in the season, the way that their weakness was against the run, right? I mean, before they added Marcell Dareus in the trade, and again, I still don't understand how they sign all these guys and trade for all these guys and how they still have room under the salary cap, but they found a way to do it somehow. Because you know, in that first matchup, I mean, the Titans went down to Jacksonville in week two last year, mm-hmm. and put 37 points on the Jaguars, you know. So, I mean, they were one of the few teams that was able to really, you know, go down there and have success against them. That was one of Derrick Henry's better games, especially early in the season. He carried the ball 14 times for 92 yards and a touchdown. And, I mean, a long of 72. So it wasn't like he broke off just this huge run in that game. I mean, he was consistently pretty good in that one. But the Titans ran the ball. Henry had 14 carries. Murray had 9. Flewellen had 3. Justin Fowler had a carry. Taywan Taylor had a couple of carries. So, I mean, they were committed to running the ball. You had all those runs, and they only threw the ball 27 times. So that's the formula. That's the way to get it done. Because when you look at this defense just kind of across the board, there's not anything that they're particularly bad at. I mean, I guess they're not great against tight ends. They were, I think, 20th DVOA against the tight end last year. But they were number one against number one wide receivers, number 8 against number 2 wide receivers, number 11 against all other wide receivers, number 16 against running backs in the passing game. So some teams, they have really good outside corners. You can attack them in the middle of the field. That was kind of the case with the Broncos for a while. This defense is just good everywhere. So the biggest thing is going to be, again, kind of like Mike Vrabel was talking about last week, run the ball, have some success with that, take care of the ball, don't give them any short fields to work with, that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, really, I don't know. If you're Matt LaFleur, what's the weakness that you're trying to attack?
Yeah, and I think building off of that, I think you'll see them move Corey Davis around. I think you'll see him get a lot of reps out of the slot, maybe get away from Bouye and Ramsey, get a matchup on DJ Hayden, maybe potentially get one against the safety or something like that, you know, put him in motion and kind of break that press. So, you know, we've talked a lot about Corey Davis. He's the guy in the passing game right now for the Titans. He's got 20 targets through 2 weeks. Next closest is Deion Lewis with 9. So it's Corey Davis if the Titans are throwing the ball right now. Obviously, that'll change as Marcus Mariota gets back, and he'll kind of spread the wealth a little more. But I think that's one of the keys, is keeping Corey Davis on the move, putting him in the slot, putting him in spots where he can succeed, and maybe not just lining him up against Jalen Ramsey every single down.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is funny. I'm looking at these are DVOA numbers from last year, but they were first against passes to the left, first against passes in the middle, 14th against passes to the right, first against deep balls, eighth against short passes. I mean, they're just really good everywhere. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I think that this is the game where, and if you remember last year in the game, the Week 17 game, that was Derrick Henry. That was the first game after DeMarco Murray was hurt, if I remember correctly. And Derrick Henry did not have a very successful game, at least, you know, yards per carry type deal. And that was when he kind of came out and said he was mad at himself for the way that he ran. And then he, you know, went and just kind of hammered the Chiefs. But hopefully, you know, you can see kind of week two Derrick Henry instead of week 17 Derrick Henry, because they're going to need a big day from him in order to stay in positive game script here. Because, again, if you get in, you know, third and seven or more, you just kind of forget it. I mean, they really are that good, and I hate to give them that credit just because their fans are the worst, but it really is true. So, anyway, so that's kind of the look from an offensive perspective. Did you have one more thing?
No, go for it.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of the look from the offensive perspective. We'll look at the defensive perspective in just a second. Before we do that, I'm going to tell you about Swap.com. We talked a little bit about them last night. It's the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off of retail price on your favorite brands like Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Here's the thing. I mean, they've got new stuff going up there every day. It is a thrift store, but they look their stuff over. Everything is hand-inspected. Items are added daily. So there's a lot of cool stuff. You can check it out every day. You can find something different. You know, if you've got kids, how quickly they grow out of their clothes. So you can go and spend, you know, 10, 15, 20% of what you'd be spending if you went to the retail store and got their stuff. You can get their stuff. Same quality materials. It's just been gently used. Special offer for our listeners. You can get 35% off of select items on your first order if you use the promo code Locked On. So again, that's 35% off of select items with the promo code Locked On. And again, check them out every day, swap.com, their homepage, because they've got new stuff going up there every day. So from a defensive perspective, pressure Blake Bortles, get him to turn the ball over, right? I mean, I think that's the simplest way of getting to them. I know he was really good against the Patriots. Jaguars fans, it's just funny to watch their up and down with Blake Bortles and how they feel about him. He had a great game. He was really good in that game against the Patriots in week two. But last year, you know, part of the thing was they were able to sack him a couple times, picked him off a couple times in both games. And so that's going to be the key here. If you listen to Vrabel last week, I can't remember what exactly all the numbers were, but he said after the game, he told the team, you know, 40 rushing attempts, zero turnovers, you know, the Titans gave up two forced turnovers, and there was some other number. But anyway, something like that was the recipe for winning last week. I think you're going to need to see a similar deal here. I think if the Titans are going to win this game, they're going to need to take advantage of Blake Bortles, get a couple of picks, set their offense up in a couple of positive situations in order to take advantage of a short field. Leonard Fournette looks like he's going to play. Their offense is actually worse when he plays. Talked a little bit last night about how kind of weird their offense is, and I guess they call the game completely differently when he's out there. He's supposed to play. You know, I think most people would look at that as a bad thing for the Titans, but I'm not necessarily sure that it is.
Yeah, and you know, the Locked On Jaguars guys talked about that a lot. When Leonard Fournette plays, they morph into a different offense. You know, they turn into that ground and pound, almost Mike Mularkey style. We're going to beat you with Fournette. You know it's coming. Try and stop it. When he's out, they just open it up, and Blake Bortles goes and makes plays and is actually a decent quarterback. So that's what I'm looking for. You know, it just seems like if they get that mix of both, it seems like they could actually be pretty dangerous. Because Bortles is not a zero. Let's get that clear. I mean, he's not great by any stretch, but he can make some plays. You know, he's made a ton of plays with his legs, really dating back to last year throughout that playoff run. He can extend plays. I think finishing sacks in the backfield is going to be big. a guy like Jaylen Brown chasing him around the line of scrimmage. I think that's going to be a potential X factor there, not letting him convert those third and four plays with his legs. I think that's going to be a big deal. But really interested to see which Jacksonville offense shows up. You know, like you said, I just kind of hope it's the ground and pound offense with Leonard Fournette, because like we said before, the Titans run defense we don't think is all that great. But, you know, you open up the offense, you've seen the issues that Malcolm Butler has had. Jacksonville's receivers have some speed. You know, Keelan Cole, D.D. Westbrook, that could be a potential issue there.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the stuff about Bortles running, because I think that's probably the most underrated part of his game. First career average is 11.3 yards per carry. That's really good. And it's something that doesn't get talked about as much as it probably should. The thing with him is he's either going to be, like, really good, or he's going to make, you know, like, two dumb mistakes that give the Titans a chance to win the game. I mean, I think that's said. Like you said, he's not a zero. It's not like he can't do anything. But you can take advantage of him, and hopefully they've looked at the film and stuff and they've found some ways to disguise some things, to trick him into a couple throws or whatever. They've got weapons, you know. They got Keelan Cole, who's a good receiver, made one of the best catches of the year so far last week. Very talented guy. D.D. Westbrook, you know, you go watch his college tape. I mean, was, you know, obviously really, really good in college. They drafted D.J. Shark, a guy we talked a little bit about, has that elite speed. We've talked about, you know, the issues that Malcolm Butler's had with the deep ball. So there are definitely ways that this offense could take advantage of the Titans' defense. But like you said, I think the thing that we should probably hope for is that they go back into that conservative, just try to grind it out, hand the ball to Leonard Fournette 25 times. I think that's going to give the Titans the best chance. And I feel, I don't know, and I don't watch the Jaguars enough to necessarily, like, make this the statement that I'm about to make, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. It almost seems like Bortles, when he knows that the game is in his hand, it's like he's a different guy a little bit. Like, he's a little bit more smart with the football, that kind of stuff. It's almost like when Leonard Fournette's there and they're handing off, he knows he's only going to get, you know, 20 times, 25 times, whatever it is, to throw the ball. He tries to force some things just because it's like, well, I'm not going to get a throw again, so I need to try to hit this play or whatever. That may not be it at all, but it's just kind of like one of those things where, like, when he feels like he's got the whole game, he doesn't force it as much as he does in certain situations. And so that's going to be the thing. I mean, I think especially if Marcus Mariota isn't able to go, if you're looking at, you know, the fourth tackle again, you're going to need Bortles to give you something. And so, I mean, I think that's going to be the biggest thing there. If the Jaguars don't turn the ball over and Blaine Gabbert's the quarterback for the Titans, I have trouble seeing how the Titans win this game.
Yeah, we should mention that T.J. Yeldon's status is up in the air. We've talked a lot about Fournette. He's expected to go, but T.J. Yeldon may not go in this one. That would move Cord Grant up, a guy that's made some plays in the passing game, so no real issue there. But I want to talk a little bit about Fournette specifically. You know, I feel like there's a misconception with him. I just don't think he's very good. You know, I'll just come out and say it, and naturally he'll go for 200 against us on Sunday. Because I just think he's a guy that doesn't have a lot of lateral agility. I think he's a straight line runner at 230 pounds. He can hit the hole when it's there. I just don't think he's anything special. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that Jacksonville took him in the top five. If they had to do that over again, you think they'd make the same pick?
No, absolutely
I don't
not.
Think so either.
Yeah,
I don't understand. It seems like the game has changed a lot since that draft. I will say, you know, you can find any sort of back nowadays that can catch a pass out of the backfield. You know, the Titans probably signed the best one in the league in Deion Lewis, but it's just a weird coincidence that Jacksonville's better without him.
Yeah, and so, again, that's why I hope he plays. And I think that, yeah, like I said, it's turning toward that he will. You know, I don't know. I would like to tell you, I made I predicted 17-10 Titans in the thing I did with Big Cat Country. I don't feel confident about that at all. I don't know what to think about this game. We're talking before we came on. There's still not a line in Vegas for this game, obviously, because, you know, waiting on the status of Mariota. But, like, we usually like to give predictions at this point. I don't really have any idea. I think the Titans can go down there, and I think they can play with the Jaguars. I think that as long as they can keep the game manageable, kind of like they did last week, I think they have a chance to win. But it's really hard to make any type of prediction when we just still don't know so much about who's going to be available.
Well, I think the best thing that could have happened to the Titans was Jacksonville beating New England, because you come down off that high, you know, they got their big win, you know, paid them back for the playoffs last year. Now the Titans come to town, and how do you get back up for that game? So it's just a classic letdown spot. That being said, I don't feel confident in this one either. Just looking at this on paper, you know, Jacksonville has a pretty good advantage just about everywhere. But, you know, we saw Matt LaFleur work some magic last Sunday. We saw Mike Vrabel steal 7 points with that call for the safety-to-safety touchdown pass. So maybe you see some different things like that. I'll just say this. I'd be surprised if the Titans won this one.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. So hopefully they will. We'll be cheering for them. But it's kind of seems like it's a little bit stacked against them. And again, I think if they get one of these next two, you know, with the Jaguars this week, with the Eagles next week, I think we should take 2-2 from this tough September schedule with the injuries and all that stuff. I think we should take it and run with it, because in theory, once you get into October, Mariota's going to be good. Conklin's going to be back. I mean, it's trending in a really good direction for that. So, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. But anyway, we'll be back Sunday night with another show. Between now and then, check out MusicCityMiracles.com. We'll have a ton of stuff with this game. And if you want to interact with other Titans fans during the game, it's the perfect place to do it. We'll have an open thread and all that stuff on the site on Sunday. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorthMCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. Subscribe to the podcast, Locked On Titans, wherever you get your podcast. So for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again on Sunday.